Can I encourage you in the Word of God this morning? Psalm 119 and verse 105, it says these great words, familiar words, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We're going to be talking more about this in our annual meeting, but our direction for this year is really to make an emphasis of the Word of God. Not that we don't do that, but personally, practically, daily in our life. The Word of God is not just for Sunday. The Bible's just not, hey, a book I bring out on Sunday when I come to church. It's not just a book where I run to when I'm feeling down. No, the Bible tells me here that it is good for every single day. It's going to do two things for us in this passage. Number one, it's going to show us right where we're at. That's what the lamp does unto our feet. But not only that, but it shows us where we are going. Praise the Lord for the Word of God. It is our map for life. It is our compass, if you will, for life. I am thankful for it. I'm excited about it. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that as we look at these verses here this morning, that God, you'd speak to our hearts from it. Lord, I pray that you'd begin to work on us. Lord, give us a deeper commitment for your word. Lord, help us to love it and help us to read it and memorize it. And Lord, hide it away in our hearts. Lord, I pray that we'd obey it. Lord, I pray that we'd be an encouragement one to another in these things. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Again, our theme verse. The first thing I see here in Psalm 119 and 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." Now, if any of you have ever had to do some walking around at in the evening or at night, maybe you've for some reason unbeknownst to me, decide to go camping or something like that. And there you find yourself trying to find the outhouse in the middle of the night. And you're wandering through uncharted territory. And what are you doing? Yeah, last night we stopped over and saw the Williams. And just checked in on them a little bit. And what did we do from our car to their front door? We take out our phones and we shine it on our feet. We want to know what's going on at our feet. I know there's a pathway somewhere out there. But I just need to know, where am I standing? You know what? The Word of God has this beautiful blend of, look at this now, Psalm 119 and 105. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." When I look at where I'm at, it gives me two things. Number one, comfort in knowing that I have sure footing, but also the confidence that I am secure. This beautiful blend of these two things. And it just helps me know where I'm at. Friday night, we had the blessing. We saw the Jabiskies. The Jabiskies were out on date night. We went to the hockey game Friday night. And I was in the parking garage. And, you know, sometimes in those parking garages, you get turned around a little bit. And I didn't know where I was. So I knew where I was. I was in the parking garage. But I didn't know. I wanted to try and get home. So on my phone, I can just tell it, get me home. And because I'm in this iron concrete structure, it couldn't figure out where I was to therefore not be able to give me directions to where I'm trying to go. And I thought, ooh, that's good. See, if I don't know where I'm at, how am I going to be able to get to the next place? That's what the Word of God does. It doesn't lie to us. It's just 100% truthful, honest, to show you where you're at. But these days, we sometimes lie to ourselves and to who we actually think we are. Sometimes we inflate ourselves into something better than what we actually are. Or sometimes we downplay it and I'm just no... Hold on, let's take a look at the... Now, not just what I think about myself. See, when I look in the mirror, that could be a lie. Right? I mean, maybe you're... you got your hair done, got some makeup on, and on the outside you look well. Gentlemen, you maybe just got your hair cut, clean shave, all that. Feeling good, tie sharp, collar's looking good. You look in your mirror and go, man, I'm doing good. When inside, see, that's what the Word of God is able to do. It's able to get right into the heart of the matter. And it identifies you for who you are, not who you think you are. See, this world this day is really trying to confuse people even to identify who they are. I'm going to give you one stat, and it's sad. In 2014, this was 5 years ago, oh, 6 years ago, ABC reported that there are 58 genders. Know what that is? That's taking the lamp away from the people's feet. It's confusing people as to who they are. So what do we do? Well, I think, no, you're not going to win that argument. Because it's now my opinion against your opinion. So let's do this. Let's see what the Bible says. Let's see what the Bible says. And am I on? Okay, good. Right. I thought, okay, great. I saw panic in the back sound room. All right, we're good. Genesis chapter 1. These are great verses into identifying who we are. The world will try and confuse us. This is just one simple thought. Again, the world will say there are 58 different, at least 58. I saw a video a little while ago that the number of genders is infinite. How is that possible? That makes no sense. So, if we would like to get into a argument or discussion about that, well, I think, how about we just go to what the Bible says? See, the Bible defines who we are. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Now help me count here. Male and female created he them. So we ask the question, how many genders are there? Two. The right answer to that question is two, not 58. So how could there possibly... You read the science on it, that makes no sense. Honestly, I was reading things yesterday. I got into about 2 minutes and I said, I'm going to stop right there. That's just a bunch of foolishness. Genesis, I'll read the verses to you. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 2. Male and female created he them. And blessed them. And called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Once again, the world will try and confuse you into who you are. So what do we need? We need the lamp of the Word of God to shed some light onto who we are. Praise the Lord for that. So that's Old Testament, Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them from the beginning made them male and female, it says. No, that's just not the Old Testament. That's truth. Knowing who you are. If I don't know who I am or where I'm at, how on earth could I possibly know where I'm going? Looking for signal. Looking for location. Hey, can I help you today? Don't go look in the mirror. Don't ask your friends, hey, what do you think about me? Look at the Word of God and say, God, tell me about me. Without Christ, the Bible says in Luke chapter 15 that you are... Now, listen. The truth of the Word of God is such. It's truth. Amen. My wife told me yesterday, she says, the carpet doesn't match the floor. I don't have feathers, but if I did, they got ruffled a little. Because I know the stair carpet doesn't match the floor. I just don't want to hear it. Because I don't want to have to deal with it. Brother Roger, he's a blessing to me. He says three words, get over it. I said, I have a new PR guy. Well, Pastor, don't. Listen, I'm doing the best I can. You're lost without Christ.
Amen.
So how? You don't understand my background. I came from hard times. But without Christ, you're lost. I'm sorry, the carpet doesn't matter. I'm sorry, the truth of the matter is, without Christ, you're lost. And if you can never recognize that you're lost, you'll never be found. I'm not going to look for something that I don't know is lost. Ephesians chapter 2. Without Christ, who are you? Well, Luke chapter 15 tells us that we're lost. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us this. Ephesians 2, 1 says, "And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world." The Bible says that without Christ, you're just dead. I don't like that. I feel like I'm okay. I'm taking breath. Spiritually, you're dead. That doesn't make me feel so good. Yeah, we're past the who you think you are. We're looking into the Word of God to who you actually are. Without Christ, you're lost. Without Christ, you're dead. You know what? The Bible says in Isaiah 41, turn there. Isaiah 41. See, this is helpful. So, ever wake up some mornings, and we're going to look at this, and, hold on. We'll get to there. Isaiah 41 and verse 10, getting ahead of myself. "Fear thou not," it says, "for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." See, without Christ, you know what you have? Fear. Because any moment you know that you can slip off into eternity. And then the decisions for Christ is past. See, a lost person, a person without Christ, lives in fear, not wanting eternity to come. I'm telling you, I go to the Hilton East there. I say, oh, they're old. No, they're prepared. They're ready for eternity. Hey, I could ask maybe a young person in here, hey, are you looking forward to heaven? Well, certainly I'd like to get married, maybe have my own family, but I'm not afraid to die. I'm not looking forward to the process. I'm reminded the older I get of the process. I don't remember 2 years ago waking up every morning and my lower back was sore. I don't remember that. Well, you get moving around, but I have a feeling there's going to come a day, even moving around a little bit, it's not going to... But I'm not fearful of eternity. See, without Christ, you're fearful of eternity. Because you just don't know. The Bible says in Psalm 107, look here. Without Christ. So how do I know about this? How do I know all about these things about myself? How do I know who I am? Because the Word of God is so perfectly written in that it reveals to us what we're like. How did I know that I was lost? How did I know that I was dead? How did I know that I had fear? Well, certainly some of those things I could feel. But without the revealed Word of God. See, the Word of God shows you right where you're at. Psalm 107 in verse 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. A lost person is just wandering. Ever get lost? Man, that's frustrating. Feel like you're just wandering around. Don't know where you're at. Long before GPS, there were maps. Remember maps? Rand McNally, right? Maps, you had a thing. Brother Garrett still used maps. The only problem is sometimes they do construction and they don't let the map guy know. Not current information. I like when I'm driving down the highway and it says, hey, smart Apple user, you have an opportunity to go off this path because there's an accident ahead and save yourself 15 minutes. Except, that's it. It's an awful feeling, wandering. You know what? Imagine having no purpose to your life. Imagine not knowing where you're going. Imagine just wandering. Imagine those 40 years of just wandering in the wilderness as Israel did. I think I saw that about a year ago. Weren't we here? No, it's a sand dune. They all look the same. We're on our way. We're almost there. 30 more minutes, Moses said, and we're going to be there. 30 more years just going around in circles. That's frustrating. So it is the person that's without Christ. They have no direction. They don't know where they're at. And they're just wandering. Romans chapter 6. Who are you? Where are you? Well, without Christ, you're lost. You're dead. You're fearful. You're wandering. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. See, without Christ, you know what you are? You're a servant to sin. You're bound to sin. Chained to sin. Unable to separate from the consequences of sin. Say, that doesn't make me... No, you here, look, let me show you my new haircut. Let me show you my new... Yeah, but that's not who you actually are. That's who you think you are. But nothing like the Word of God to show us who we really are. Now, we can bury our heads in the sand and pretend that we're not, but if you're here this morning and you're without Christ, that's just truth. And such were some of you, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? Well, praise the Lord for the redemptive act of Christ. Because now I am no longer lost, dead, fearful, wandering, and bound to my sin. No, because of Jesus Christ, look at this. John chapter 1 and verse 12. Love these verses. He can take somebody who's lost and dead and just living in fear and wandering and bound to sin. And the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's good to be a believer in Christ. So what changed? I became his child. See, before the Bible says I was his enemy, but now I'm his child. It's good to be in Christ. It's good to know Christ. It's good to be a follower of Christ. It's good to be saved today. Not that my problems are gone. We all still have problems, ailments. We still live in a sinful world. But my greatest problem is solved. That's good. You know, sometimes you wake up in the morning and I was starting this and you just feel a little down. You just feel quite the opposite of maybe lost and without Christ. You wake up and go, I feel good. I'm going to go take on the world. Yeah, but let's remember the condition in your heart. Maybe you wake up in the morning and go, I don't know if there's purpose. I don't know if I have direction. I just don't want to do it again today. That's because we forgot who we are in Christ. I'm his child. I'm the child of God. Look at this, Ephesians chapter 1. This is a great verse. Ephesians chapter 1. Let me remind us this morning that we can never get to where God wants us to try and be if we don't know where we're at. And the Word of God has a great, perfect way of just cutting through all the nonsense and just calling it like it is. Hey, in Christ, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He accepts me So how is that possible? Only by the grace of God. I'm accepted. Surprisingly, I wasn't always the most athletic person on the team or in gym class. And to add to that, one time they messed up my schedule when I was in high school. Well, junior high, high school. I was in ninth grade, and I was, and they messed up my schedule, so I got placed in senior gym class. So, you can imagine, when I graduated high school, I weighed 140 pounds. That's when I was a senior. So, imagine a little Pastor Russo, littler, less athletic. To say less athletic indicates somehow and somewhere I was athletic. But then placed into a senior gym class. Most times I was the last person picked. It's just how it went. I understood that. They were nice and all, but certainly was not accepted. I hated gym class. Went and talked to my guidance counselor and asked if we could do something different. I didn't feel accepted. Wasn't with my peers. I wasn't. Maybe in your life you felt always on the outside. Do you know that in Christ you're accepted of the Father? God the Father accepts you for who you're at. Not only are you His child, the Bible says that in Christ you're accepted by Him. And then say, who is that? Colossians chapter 2. Look at these encouraging words. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. Colossians 2, 9 says, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. The one that's in charge of everything says, you're accepted in Me. I love you, and you're My child. And it reminds us who's actually in charge. So tomorrow morning when you're getting ready and you're looking at the mirror and say, I'm in charge of this whole... Let's remember who's actually in charge. Let's remember those things. Let's be honest according to the Word of God with us. Let's see where we're actually standing. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, as we saw, we were bound by sin, but through Christ, in verse 18, we are made free by Christ. Free from our sin. Praise the Lord for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, a verse we looked at yesterday. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. As I'm part of the body of Christ, you know what? Now I understand that I have purpose and I have function. What on earth am I doing? Ever ask yourself that question? What am I doing on this earth? What is the purpose of me being here? Well, God has a plan. God has a plan for you. How do I know that? Through His Word. It shows you who you are. And maybe you're discouraged this morning. Maybe you're feeling down. Maybe, quite honestly, maybe you were unfaithful to the Lord this week. Maybe you wandered a bit. Do you know that you're still His child and you're accepted and free from the consequences of your sin? And He still has a purpose and a plan for you. 1 Peter chapter 2, last verse that we'll look at about this. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. The Bible says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Know what that says? God's got a plan. God's got a plan for you. This is what you ought to be doing every step of the way. It tells you who you are. Not only does the Word of God as it tells us, it's a lamp unto our feet. It identifies where we're at. But number two, it's a light unto our path. It doesn't just show here. It shows forward, indicating to me that he doesn't want us to just stand still. He wants us ever getting closer to him. Movement is necessary. Direction is necessary. He desires to lead and direct us, to go to new places. His timing is always perfect, but he wants us moving forward. Our Christianity ought not to plateau. If you remember when you got saved, remember those days? You know, we were reading Miss Wilcox's testimony yesterday in the service. You know, she rededicated her life to the Lord in a year, and she started taking steps. She came here, hooked up with the RU program. I'm thankful to read that in there. That was a help to her. It helped her get closer to, it wasn't the program, it was God. God got to use that program. That program helped her get closer to the Lord, and something that she'd been struggling with a lot of her life, that now alcohol and drugs were gone. Moving forward. How about you? Have you plateaued in your life? I was growing, I was getting rid of things, I was adding things, and I got to a place where I just assimilated, looked like everybody else, and now I'm good. That tells me you're not in the Word of God anymore. Because the Word of God is always trying to lead us forward, closer to Christ. And there's a process. God uses processes. He's got a plan. He's got a way to get the Word of God or His thoughts to us. I was so excited. Mrs. K, where's Mrs. K? Is she in here? Is she teaching Sunday school? Nursery? All right. She's staying over at the Parsonage a little bit. And just until she gets her new place. And she's on it with the mail. She goes and gets it. I think she waits for the mail guy. And she'll text me or call me and, hey, the mail's here. Great. Just put it on my desk. She texted me last night and, hey, you got a package. Ho, ho, ho. I was trying to remember what I ordered or what it was. And getting excited, and that thing showed up. How does God get His Word to you? Well, He's got a plan, a process by which He delivers what He would like for you. How does He lead you to the next step? Well, sometimes He just completely changes our circumstances in our life. If you look at Acts chapter 16, right? We won't go there for sake of time, but I will reference it. He uses direct things. He changes circumstances. Here, what do we find? We find Paul and Silas in a prison. Why? Because he has a meeting with the Philippian jailer, and he's about to bring the Word of God to the jailer. A direct alteration of time. Now, thankfully, Paul and Silas were faithful in what God has called them to do, and that when the opportunity presented, he shared the gospel. And sometimes there are circumstances that are completely out of our control. But the purpose of it is to get us to a new place, to get the Word of God to lead us to the next step. That, as we just read, that we would show forth the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. God has directives as a process. Circumstances completely out of your control. But you need to ask yourself the question, where is God leading in this? What is He trying to teach me? What is He trying to show me? Number two, He has a list of commands. Do's and don'ts from the Scriptures. The Bible's filled with what we should be doing and what we should not be doing. We looked at it, I think, last week, the Ten Commandments. No stealing. Yeah, but I really want that. Yeah, but it's a sin. You're not supposed to steal. No bearing false witness. Yeah, but it'll work out in my best interest. Sorry, sin. Can't do that. We get into Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7, and we see the Sermon on the Mount, and he says these wonderful words, love your enemies. He has a list of do's and don'ts, commands that are revealed in Scripture. And we would do well to allow him to lead us into what we ought to do and what we ought not to do. Are we perfect? In no way. But we at least ought to strongly allow the Word of God to permeate our hearts to dictate what we ought to be doing and what we ought not to be doing. And I will tell you this. The greatest amount of troubles that you will have in your life are a result of your disobedience to the Word of God. There's consequences for not believing His Word. Not doing His Word. Now, life in itself brings issues and difficulties. Why make it harder? The boys, we have a wood stove, and I ask them to bring wood in. It would be foolish of them to say, all right, I'm going to use one hand and one arm. Why would you do that? You're making it harder on yourself. Why would you violate the do's and don'ts of Scripture? Say, you can't tell me. I'm not telling you. It's the Word of God. And it leads you. The greatest amount of blessings are associated with obedience to God's Word. You want joy in your life? Obey His book. Matter of fact, that's how it is. You want joy? Do what He tells you to do. I didn't say you want to get rich, you want to be healthy. Nope, it's not like that. But you want joy and peace and all of that, obey the Word of God. So we have the circumstances where God just changes circumstances completely out of our control. Then we find the commands where it's up to me. Am I going to do what it says or not? Then we have this, I don't want to say gray area, but something that requires discernment. This is where we take the principle of the Word of God and we match it with the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. It doesn't tell us to not go to Tops or go to Wegmans in the Scriptures, right? It doesn't tell us to do this or that or these areas of my life. Well, what should I do with this? It doesn't have supermarkets in the Bible. Does that mean I don't go shopping? No. Use some wisdom. But even further than that, look at Philippians chapter 1. We're almost done. I know some of you are hungry. The benefit of the Word of God in your life, daily, it shows you where you're at and it shows you where you're going. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9 says this, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve all things." No, approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. What does that say? That's the ability to have knowledge and judgment. Knowledge of the Word of God and the indwelling Holy Spirit of God that perfectly match, that leads us, but discernment is required. So yes, we have the circumstances where God just completely changes and alters and puts us into it and say, okay, God, I guess you led me here. Maybe it was a job closing. All right, here I am. I saw that in my life. Worked for a company for a good number of years. And over time, the God was moving him to be a pastor and kind of shutting down the business, moved me out of the business, and then all of a sudden I found myself volunteering here at school. I volunteered a couple days and I went to Pastor Huber and I said, I'd be willing to teach at our school. I don't know anything about it, but how hard could it be? Ooh, what did I know? But had God not shut that business down, okay, he led me. There's do's and don'ts, commands in the scriptures. Do not do this. Do this. And then there's things where we take those principles, we take the leading of the Holy Spirit of God to take us to the next step. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. It's called discernment. And the Bible says, but strong meat, here we're talking about the Word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I know the Word of God. I've read it enough. I have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. And I look at the situation and I know what's good and I know what's evil. God leads us by the blend of those two things. So three ways that God leads us using His Word. So how does that work out? Well, the Bible tells me in Psalm 23. I love Psalm 23. Go there. The result is this. As He leads us, look at where He leads us. Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Oh, He brings a peace in our life that only God can give. Say, oh, it must have been going so well for David. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, it was not all wonderful. But yet God still led him beside still waters. The result of being led by God, ever make a decision outside of the leading of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God? How'd that go? Did you find yourself sitting beside still waters? No, it was complete chaos and a total wreck. Did you learn your lesson? No, actually, I didn't. I did it over and over again. Well, let's learn from our past mistakes and allow the Word of God and the indwelling Holy Spirit of God to lead us beside still waters. He has direction for our daily life. Wonderful verses, familiar verses, maybe some of your own life verses. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. The Bible says this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And look at what it says. And He shall direct thy paths. Faith will be required. Verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord. Nick, you're going to need to turn right at exit 15 if you want to get to where you're going. No, I got a better way. I know a shortcut. How many of you have wasted a lot of time on shortcuts? Sure. How many of you have wasted a lot of time in your life on shortcuts? God, I got a better plan. I know the way that I should be going. I'll let you know if I need help. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It's going to take faith. It's going to take humility. And it's going to take complete surrender in all thy ways. All right, God, here you work with the family. I'll work with the finances. You work with this section of my life, in all thy ways. And He'll use the light of the Word of God to direct your paths. Besides still waters, direction for your daily life. And then we'll end with this. Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25. Nope. Did I say Proverbs? Psalms chapter 25. Here's the problem. I know there's pasta out there. And for the Italian, it's just not right. Psalm 25 in verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Well, when did that verse get put in there? Well, it's been there. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. Know what that said? Do the do's and don't do the don'ts. And God says, I got a path for you. You do what I tell you to do, and you will find mercy and truth. No, I got a better way. There is no better way than God, and it will be consistent. That's what it's like to follow the Lord. Mercy and truth. Can we look back just a couple verses? Look at this. Verse 4. And we're done. I print it on cardstock. It's like preaching off a wooden tablet. Psalm 25 in verse 4. It says this. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Where are you at this morning? Where are you? I don't even know. How do I find out? This book. It'll tell you exactly. Say, I don't even know where I'm going. This book. God, lead me in thy truth. Where can I find the truth? Thy word is truth. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God, you must be trying to lead me with this book. Yes. Yes, that's how he leads us. Through this book. Because it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It reveals to us where we're at. And it shows us where we're going. Let's all stand. Appreciate your patience. But if we could treat Psalm 25 and verse 4 maybe as a prayer this morning. Lord, would you show me thy ways? Would you teach me thy paths? Will you lead me in thy truth and teach me? I'll wait. Ever make a decision too early? Out of the wrong time? It says this, on thee do I wait all the day. Let's wait on the Lord. Let's trust the Lord that He really does know what He's doing. And He'll use His word daily in my life. Number one, to show me where I'm at. But number two, where I ought to be. Remember, He desires that we keep moving forward. So no matter how long you've been saved, doesn't matter how long you've been a child of God, keep moving forward for Him. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. Maybe you want to come and pray to the Lord and just say those words. Lord, show me thy ways and teach me thy paths. Maybe you have a decision in this next year. And you sure could use some direction in your life. How about you ask the Lord what He thinks? Why don't you let the Word of God light your path instead of you trying to make sense of it all? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, help us to just be honest with you and with ourselves. And allow the word of God to reveal to us who we are, where we're at, and where we ought to be going. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name.